You are listening to the Conduction Series on WGXC 90.7 FM. The Conduction Series is a collaborative live radio broadcast produced by sound and transmission artists across the Americas. We're heard once a month on the first Friday at this time. Today's theme is involuntary transmission.
Something else going on this channel. Have you been picking up something else?
Well, I just heard the office right before you responded there, I think.
But I don't know if it has to do with what we're working or something. It sounds like something else.
Okay, I'll give a call in there and see if we're locked on with some other channel there.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, everybody. The radios are on. The cat is out of the bag. All right, everybody. The radios are on. All right, everybody. Is out of the bag. The radios are on. The cat is out of the bag. The radios are on. All right, everybody. Is out of the bag. The radios are on. There's no holding back now.
Watch out, maybe.
There's no holding back now. There's no holding back now.
Watch out,
maybe. There's no holding back now.
Watch out, maybe.
There's no holding back now. There's no holding back now.
There's no holding back now. Careful what you say. Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now.
There's no holding back now. Careful what you say. Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now.
Say. Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now.
Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now.
Say. Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now. It's nothing like a little bit of self-incrimination.
There's no holding back now. Say. Check, check. Watch out.
There's no holding back now. It's nothing like a little bit of self-incrimination.
There's no holding back now.
Nothing like a little bit of self-incrimination.
There's no holding back now.
Nothing like a little bit of
There will be no peace. We will roll them to pieces instead. No peace. Envoy. The special envoy. The special envoy.
I repeat, has failed.
Check, fail. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe it was Danny Tanner who once said, "Time to wake up, San Francisco."
Still downstairs. You want me to ride our car up at 31? Or is it supposed to be at 31? Because it's not.
Thank you.
And then one day, in a particularly active year, when the sunspots were intense and the solar winds were blowing, the radio fell into the background. And the devices ceased to chatter, and the batteries were drained. And the winds were so beautiful. And the radio was not gone. And static took many forms. But the winds were so very, very beautiful. It's not so difficult to look at a leaf and imagine oneself, small and light. As if flying were not simply about effort, but actually about forgetting to walk, and forgetting gravity, and being lifted. As if the winds were strong enough, but gentle enough for holding. Bodies like signals on a carrier wind, flustering and blustering up into the sky. Not afraid. Another kind of signal in the solar wind. Day in a particularly active year.
times, but with this and that. When the whisper of words is not enough. On some shelf of memory lies a misplaced summer, one not stored away for later savoring. Surely it ended early with unexpected fog, with the wind sliding past through unmeasured darkness. No voice could be enough, what with this and that, and the hours falling faster.
My bedroom. My clothes are in the closet. I haven't lived there for decades. I return to the living room, but mother is gone. Then I remember. It's been 10 years since she passed. I shrug and walk out of the house and down the street in the rain.
I've been looking for all sorts of things over the years. Everything is disappearing in me, on me. My eyes, my ears, my voice. In the end, I'll end up, what, blind, deaf, and dumb. Simple. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I go. Has no title. It's called Four, but that's not. Oh, here I go. The sound of the sea on the wind blowing through the streets of Suera today is the same as it was 200 years ago when Andrew Layton had a small exporting business there together with two Frenchmen, Monsieur Secard and Barre. The three men often set out on their horses into the countryside roundabout, Layton's greyhounds accompanying them. There were very few Europeans in the town, so that these excursions had become their favorite pastime. One day, the three, along with the clerk who worked in their office, went out of the town on their horses. To escape the wind, they rode inland rather than skirting the dunes to the south. Their route led them past several small Schlech villages. The dogs raced here and there across the scrubland. They passed a hamlet where men and women were working in the fields while cows grazed nearby. The greyhounds rushed onto the scene and made a concerted attack upon the cattle. As a calf fell, a farmer in the field raised his gun and shot one of the dogs. The others scattered. The Europeans had seen. They rode up and dismounted. But before they had even begun to speak, the field workers were hurling stones at them. Monsieur Bao received the most serious bruises. A general melee ensued, in the course of which Leighton and his associates made free use of their riding whips. Then they turned and galloped back to Swear in a state of high indignation. The occurrence was unusual, and by their standards, outrageous. They went immediately to see the Pasha. To appease the Europeans, with whom he was on friendly terms, the Pasha first advised them henceforth to ride southward along the beach, notwithstanding the wind, rather than going inland past the villages. Then he agreed to call in the offending farmers. The following day, a large group of them appeared in the town. They were in a state of great excitement, and straightway began a frenzied clamor for retribution. A village woman was missing two teeth, which she insisted that Leighton had broken. Again and again, the villagers called, in the name of Allah and the Prophet, for justice. Perplexed by the turn events had taken, the Pasha decided to refer the matter to the Sultan. In due course, a reply came from His Majesty, ordering all the parties concerned to report to the palace at Marrakesh. At the hearing, which finally took place in the presence of the Sultan, Leighton was ingenuous enough to give a straightforward account of the incident. Included was his admission that he had struck the woman in the face with the buster's whip, thus breaking two of her incisors. He offered to make monetary payment, but the villagers were adamant in their refusal. They had not come to Marrakesh expecting money, they declared. What they demanded was precise retaliation. Leighton must furnish them with two of his own teeth. Nothing else was acceptable. Since the peasants were within their rights in asking that the law of the land be applied, the Sultan had no choice but to order the extraction to be performed then and there. The official tooth puller stepped forward, ready to start. Leighton, although considerably disconcerted, had the presence of mind to ask that the teeth to be pulled be two molars which recently had been given in trouble. The complainants agreed to the suggestion. Back teeth being larger and heavier than front teeth, they felt the pulls of the better of sight. The operation went ahead under the intense scrutiny of the villagers. They were waiting to hear the infinite cries of pain. Leighton, however, preserved the stoical silence throughout the ordeal. The molars were washed and presented to the claimants, who went away entirely satisfied. The Sultan had watched the proceedings with growing interest, and he arranged to hold a private conversation with Leighton on the following day, when he apologized, at the same time expressing his admiration for the Englishman's fortitude. He could scarcely do less, he said, and agreed to grant whatever favor his guest might ask of him. Leighton replied that he desired only that the permit to export a cargo of wheat from Aswira be expedited. His modesty and candor compelled the man to take questions from Aswira as a physical attack. It was the Emperor's hope that Leighton might eventually be persuaded to accept the post of British consul in Marrakesh. There, at least, he argued, he would not have to contend with the wind. But the prospect did not appeal to Leighton, who preferred to continue his life in Syria in his presence in God. He had got used to the wind, he said.
Alright, everybody. The radios are on. The cat is out of the bag. The jig is up. The secret's out. The truth is out. The horse has already left the barn. The lid's been lifted. The veil has been drawn. The floodgates are open. The genie's out of the bottle. The news is out. It's all been spilled. The mask has been slipped. The beans, they have been spilled. And the ice is broken. Pandora's box is now cracked. And did you know it's the cracks that let the light in? The truth has surfaced and the cards are on the table and the damage is done. It's no longer a secret. Well, everybody, there's no holding back now. The floodgates are open. It's full steam ahead. The die is cast. There's no turning back now. The wheels, they are in motion, and the ball, it is rolling. All bets are off. We're past the point of no return, and it's all systems go. The horses are out of the gate, and it is time. The rubber has met the road, and there are no brakes on this train. We've crossed the line, and it's game on! There's no stopping us now! The course is set, and we are committed now.